Chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I'm going to read some scripture here this morning that describes the day you and I are living in. Now you got to remember that this scripture was originally written literally thousands of years ago, before there was any kind of modern invention. You can't read this scripture and look me in the eye and tell me the Bible is just an accident. Thousands of years ago. Look at it. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. We'll stay there just a few minutes this morning. Please give me your attention. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. What generation would you think they'd be talking about? Lord have mercy. You couldn't write it better if you'd wrote it yesterday. Ain't that right? I mean, if you was going to describe the day we're living in, you couldn't describe it better. Look at that. A generation that curses their father and has no respect for their mother. A generation that are pure in their own eyes. Everybody's okay. Nobody's a sinner. Everybody's going to heaven if they are one. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. A generation that are lofty are their eyes. How's that for your the catwalk of the supermodels? Or the Tar Heels coming out to accept their awards? Or the news people gathering, or the Grammys, or the Emmys. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. Here I am, the great and wonderful, you know. Lord have mercy. Their teeth are as swords. Jaw teeth is not. What does that mean? To cut off the poor. That's everybody's rich and the heck with the poor people. And other thoughts like that. I want to preach on that this morning and use as a thought the lost generation. Bible describes the generation and in four different verses there, and I want to use them just for a minute. And brother, if we're not living in that generation, I my name's not Danny, I'll tell you that. Listen, we are living to see that time today. We have a generation of parents who are losing a generation of children right before our eyes. The baby boomers have bombed out. The do your own thing and tell it like it is generation of the 60s and 70s are just now beginning to see the results of what happens when you do. We are raising a generation right now. If the Lord don't come in the next 15, 20 years, it's going to be a scary time, people. I'm telling you, brother, we got some little hellions coming up about that high right now that don't fear God, man, the cops, nobody. We're going to be in trouble in a few years when the crowd this side gets up now. They'll look at you and cuss you to your face that tall, brother, and dare you to do anything about it. And the bad thing about it is, somebody does something about it, the law jumps on the ones that tries to correct them. And the police become the bad guys. I mean, and all rap music is about hype stuff, brainwashing young kids into thinking the police are your enemies. And the cops are the bad guys. And that the establishment is bad. And that the president and everybody's evil. Got it completely turned around backwards. And the kids are so dumb, they don't know. They just know they can dance, so they ought to listen to them. I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're living in a lost generation. We are living in that generation. This generation is characterized by four things. The Bible talks about them. I'm going to give you these and we'll go. We'll come back tonight and I've got something very special for you. Number one, it's characterized by a generation who has no respect for their parents, God, or authority. Brother, we have raised a generation who dare their parents to get in their way. They'll threaten to leave home. They'll blackmail mom and dad. They'll even make up stories. I hear it on bus route. I heard it the other day. We was joking around with these kids, and there's one of them said, "I'll whip you." And you know what the kid said? This kid said, "I'll call the social services." All right, brother, we didn't even know you could do that when we was growing up. Lord have mercy. You could. Right, back then, people trusted the parents. I know there are parents that are crazy and ought to be put in jail. Majority of people's not like that. The big majority have their kids' best interest at heart. And we have raised a generation of kids that have no respect for God, for church, for the Bible. I mean, you come that first night of the rally, you're going to be shocked. I'm going to bring a video presentation on the signs of the times. And I'm going to show you something that somebody sent me the other day on a video. It's a cartoon that it'll make your spine crawl, brother. Of the disrespect God and the Bible and church anymore. I'm telling you, brother, if we don't have revival, if somebody don't get us back to God, if we don't learn how to pray again, we have lost a generation right out from under our nose. And every generation keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I saw not long ago, I saw a bumper sticker. I saw these with my own eyes. I saw one that down in Hickory. I stopped to get gas and there was a bumper sticker there. Some weird looking thing got out of it. I couldn't tell if it was male or female, what it was. And on the bumper sticker, it said, "Sorry I missed church Sunday. I was busy practicing witchcraft and being a lesbian." Now, we know there are witches and we know there are lesbians. Can you think of the audacity and the demonic power it'd take to put that bumper sticker on your car? "Sorry I missed church Sunday. I was learning how to be a lesbian." That is a slap in the face of God and the Bible and all that's true and right. I saw another bumper sticker not too long after that. And some of them I can't even repeat. You see them out there. Somebody saw one that said, "If money is the root of all evil, why are churches begging for it all the time?" I tell you what, just a slap in the face. Some ignorant person made that. Bible don't say money's the root of all evil. If they ought to quote scripture, they ought to get it right or keep their mouth shut. Amen. It said the love of money. And that's what their problem is. They love it so much they're jealous. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, you used to never see nothing like that. You used to never see people going around with stuff on their shirt that said, "Speed on, hell ain't half full yet." You never seen people wearing shirts that said, "Sin today, pray tomorrow." You've seen girls, teenage girls, walking around with shirts on that said, "Bad girls have all the fun. Good girls go to heaven, but bad girls have more." You never seen junk like we're seeing today, brother. Listen, brother, we're living in a generation that has no respect at all for what's right and what's good and God. And if we're not careful, we'll be brainwashed by this generation thinking, "Oh, well, it's all right. Oh, well, it's no big deal." I said last Sunday morning, I'll say it again, brother. Right still right and wrong still wrong. Brother, up still up and down still down. I don't care if everybody does it. If God said it's wrong, it's still wrong. We're living in that generation. That's why it's not, people say, "Well, as long as you take kids to church, that's all that matters." No, it don't. We need to go to church where they hear what's right and hear what's wrong. Because they don't know. You don't get it on TV. You don't get it in school. You don't get it nowhere else. You've got to get it at the house of God. I heard not long ago in San Antonio, Texas, there's a 13-year-old girl. Her name is Gloria Dalton. Every day, a few months back, she sat away 20 feet away from a jury of 12 people. This jury is trying this girl for a double capital murder that she committed when she was 12 years old. She committed this murder. She smothered a 2-year-old girl to death and a 5-month-old baby. Brother, she had 2 victims under 6, so it is a capital murder. You know why she did this? She was 12.
smothered a 2-year-old and smothered a baby. And they left her. Her mother and her live-in boyfriend left this little girl to watch 5 kids. And the devil got in her and she killed 2 of them. Well, that shows society and what we're living. I mean, you hear this stuff all the time. Did you know that violent crime by people under 18 have jumped like 200% just in the last 15 years? I mean, kids committing crimes nowadays has gone out the roof. 5-year-old Eric Morse dropped out of a 14th floor, a Chicago window by his 10 and 11 year old boy. A 10 year old, 11 year old boy took a 5-year-old, dropped him out of a 14 story building to his death. They see it on TV. I mean, people die 100 times a day. I mean, you say, let's kill somebody. No big deal. I mean, they asked teenagers not long ago. They say, what would be your biggest thrill in life? And a lot of them said, to kill somebody. But what do we expect? Every TV show they watch, brother, it's bang, bang, cut their throat, chew them up with chainsaws, run over them with trucks, everything. And we are reaping a generation that has no respect for life whatsoever. I heard somebody say, on a preacher say recently, you know, we talk about them 3,000 people dying on September the 11th, and that was bad. And everybody said, oh, isn't this horrible? Oh, isn't this horrible? And George Bush led the country and went to war in Iraq, which I think is a great thing, brother. We ought to go get the terrorists and get rid of them. And did you know there's only 3,000 people killed on September 11th, and there are 4,000 babies murdered in this country every day by abortion. 4,000 a day. There'll be 4,000 tomorrow. There'll be 4,000 Tuesday. Brother, I think a president ought to say, hey, let's get up us an army and war against that. Abortion is murder. You say, I don't believe that. You don't believe that because you know somebody had one, or you're trying to cover it up for somebody. Listen, it's a beating heart. God named people in the womb before they're born, and it's a child. It's not a choice. It's not your body. It's their body. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Preach it, Brother Danny. That's right. I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, we're killing 4,000 a day. That's what we ought to be going to war for. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, brother, we're living in that lost generation. I heard about a little boy. I think he was 11 years old. Found a little 2 or 3 year old boy in the pool. That little boy was trying to climb out, and that 11 year old boy put his foot on that little fella's head and held him underwater till he died. Hardened criminals used to couldn't done that. The wickedest man in the prison house. There was, I mean, he shot grown people and robbed banks and stuff. Can you imagine? Hold, I couldn't do that to a dog, a squirrel. Hey, brother, we're living in that generation where they have no respect. I'll tell you how they used to do it. Now, J. Frank Norris was a great preacher. J. Frank Norris is the granddaddy of the independent Baptist movement in America. And Dr. J. Frank Norris used to pastor back in the 40s and late 40s, early 50s, the 2 biggest churches in America at the same time. Son, that fellow about runs circles around Jack Hiles. And some of the later guys. I'm telling you, that guy, he pastored the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, and the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas. And traveled back and forth by train and kept him journey. You talk about a character. He's one of the greatest characters ever been in this country. I'm talking about that fellow was a character. And he would travel off. He preached overseas. He'd get up and preach. He preached against liquor. He preached against liquor so hard down there in Texas that the DA and them, that somebody tried to burn his church down. They built it back and accused him of burning it. Somebody was going to kill him, and he went downtown, and there's an angry mob one time, and they was going to lynch him and hang him. This Texas back in the 40s, brother, and had guns. And he went down there and climbed up on the back of the truck and started preaching. They had a big service. He got on the radio before. Some guy got on the radio and talked 30 minutes against J. Frank Norris, told what a crook he was, a low-down scum he was, and they said Texas was listening for his rebuttal, because his program come on next. And he got on the radio, and everybody turned on the radio. Let's see what Norris says. They've accused him of everything in the world. Let's see what he says. And that fellow got on that day and never even mentioned accusation and preached a gospel sermon, and people got saved all over Texas. I'm talking about, brother, he's God's man, brother. He was God's man. He didn't try to defend himself. He just preached that book and let the book do the work. And I want to say this morning, the book will still do the work. Say amen right there. I'm about that far from getting excited this morning because of what I know that book will do. It's still real. It'll still work. Brother, listen, we was up here trying to pray last night, and there's some of us adults and a gang of teachers, and boy, the devil's sitting here trying to stop us. But I tell you, deep in my heart, I still know the God of that Bible is the God of the universe, and He's God, and He'll be there, brother, when the cows come home. Well, anyway, old J. Frank Knox, they tried to kill him one time, and they said he preached against liquor, and the DA and them and the lawyers in town tried to run him out of town. And one of the guys that was trying to kill him or have him killed got hit by a train. And he was hit by a train one night, and one of the members of the church went down there, and there was a high bottle of liquor and brains, and they put them brains in that liquor and brought them to the preacher. And he put them on the pulpit on Sunday night and preached on Thou Art Weighed in the Balances and found one. Son, they didn't mess around. If you did that nowadays, they'd lock you up in the crazy house. Blood and brain, blood and liquor on the pulpit. Well, anyway, that's kind of what. You know how he handled that rebellion in young people? He had a 13-year-old boy, and he got in trouble at school and smart-mouthed the teacher. All you bus kids, listen to me now. Said something hateful to the teacher. And the teacher said, I'm going to wire you out. And the boy jumped out the window and run. And they called a preacher and told him what his boy done. Now, you know what parents now would do? They'd run down there to school and say, now you're picking on him. He's a good boy. You better leave him alone now. You lay a hand on him and I'll have your job. He called the sheriff. That preacher called a sheriff and said, my 13-year-old boy is out running home. Go pick him up. I want him in jail. And the sheriff, he knew the sheriff personally. He said, I want him locked up for 2 weeks. He said, I'll do that for you, preacher. And they put that 13-year-old boy in jail for 2 weeks. And his daddy said, rot down there. I don't care. And that boy got out of jail and he had a little talk with his daddy. And he had a little talk with the Lord. And he went to work. And he went to military academy. And graduated from a university. Got his lawyer's license. And became a lawyer. And worked in the church the rest of his life. That's how they used to do it. Now it's, well, the kids have their rights. And the kids have their rights. And the kids have rights. And if those parents ever say anything to you, you tell me, honey. And we'll get those old mean parents and all that. We're living in a generation that curses their father and has no respect for their mother. Heard about that little old boy? I ain't got time to get to all this mess this morning. I can tell you that. Hear about the little boy? He's one of these little brats, you know. Like you see them coming out of Walmart. You see them coming out of Walmart and they're coming like this. And she's saying, come on, baby. Come on, honey. No! No! Like that. You know what I mean? I want a pony. I want to ride a pony. I want to ride that pony. Now, if you got a brain in your head, the last thing you'll do is let him ride the pony. You let him know that acting like that ain't going to get him nothing. You know what's wrong with some of you people? You think, well, they scream for it. You know what your problem is? You don't love that child. You love yourself. Right? That Bible said, if you don't discipline that child, you don't love that child. Boy, I hate to go somewhere and see them like that. I don't want to say, whoa. Mom takes that. She took that little boy's shoe store. She said, now, honey, we're going to get you some shoes. He was running around here. She couldn't catch him underneath the thing and climbed up that ladder, you know, where they got the shoes way up there, you know. He climbed way up there and just sat and looked down. She said, come on, baby. Come on now. Come. The old shoe clerk, he'd been there for years. He said, lady, you want me to get that kid down for you? She said, yes, if you can do anything with him, go get. Son, he eased up that ladder. He got right in that little old fella's ear and whispered something. He come back down like that, and that little boy come down there like that. Stuck out his foot. She said, what did you tell him? He said, I told him if he didn't get down off that ladder and get down here and stick his foot out here where I could put some shoes on him, that I was going to take my belt off and I was going to beat the devil out of him. Now I'm telling you, that'll still work. Amen. The Bible said if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die. The Bible does teach corporal punishment. The Bible teaches that. You can't improve on that. I'm not saying be mean to a kid. If you're mean to a kid, they ought to put you in jail. But brother, you are mean to them if you let them get away with murder because they think, I don't have to do what they say. My mom will tell me, you better not touch me. My mom will come down here and sue you. You better. They're going to think they can do that to the cops and then they're going to think they can do that to God. Amen. That's right, brother. I'm telling you what, brother, it's unbelievable. No respect for parents. Son, if you'd have gotten your face like kids do now, you'd have woke up next week sometime. I mean, the way people used to. And I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying people used to didn't respect disrespect parents like they do now. Not only that, no appreciation for the salvation of God. Amen. Yeah, I can show. Listen, I can go in church. Y'all listening to me? I can go in churches now and show a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross with blood coming down that cross and everything. And people just sit there like, when are we going to get out of here? I'm telling you, buddy, that's scary. That's scary. We're living in a scary time when you can show Jesus Christ dying, bleeding for sin. And people sit there and say, when are we going to get out? Popping bubble gum. Brother, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. Listen, that rock music thing I do, if you'd have showed that in churches 40 years ago, everybody went home wouldn't have slept a wink that night. It tore people's nerves up. They said, I can't believe that's going to... We just, oh, well, you know, just the world we're living in. A preacher on the radio, some of y'all might have heard him this morning. He was talking about how your heart gets hard. And you know how your heart gets hard? Your heart don't get hard overnight. He said, it's just like a pond. And when the pond gets... And it's cold, getting cold weather. And you got this little thin ice that freezes over that pond. Did anybody hear him put that this morning on the radio? And he's talking about that. He said, that first little film of ice, you can take a pin and stick through it and break it. But if it stays cold another day, and it gets that thick and that thick, it gets harder to break. Then you have to stomp it with your foot. But if it stays cold, that ice will keep freezing, getting harder and harder and harder and harder. First thing you know, a whole crowd can get out there on it and it won't break. Next thing you know, you can drive a truck across it and it won't break. Next thing you know, you can hammer it, jackhammer it, and it won't break. That's why up there in Antarctica, it's at places where you can't even break that ice. And that's the way your heart will get. It'll get a little bit harder, and a little bit harder, and a little bit harder, where nothing can't break you no more. There's some of you sitting right here, you don't even remember the last time you cried. You don't even remember when the last time God broke your heart, and tears come down your cheek, brother. You're getting like froze. You're getting harder, and harder, and harder, and harder. That's why we have spring programs. That's why we have youth rally. That's why we try to have a push for Sunday school, to get us back to the place where our heart gets tender, and it's not so cold to God, like it is. A lot of folks today. Listen, don't get mad at me. They're pure in their own eyes. They're stripper and they call that work, a job. Rap about filthy music and call themselves artist. That's what they call themselves, artist. Dance and drink for a solid 55 minutes on the program and the last minute sing Amazing Grace. And thank God has blessed the whole show. No thankfulness. Lofty eyes. Brother, we're living in a scary time. You know why tattoos are so popular right now? We're getting ready for the Antichrist. To make you look like an animal. And we're getting ready for the Antichrist. You remember the first time you saw somebody with their nose pierced? Remember? You thought, oh, remember that? Remember them days? First time I seen it, I thought, what do they do when they get clogged up with boogers? I mean, how do you pick something sticky? Ow! You had to keep that thing clean, put a toothbrush up in there and twist it around. Brother, listen, we're living in a time, no thankfulness, no humble spirit, no regard for God. Well, you know you're a redneck, they say. You clean your ears out with your truck keys.
He does. Your dad do that?
Or you burn your hairs out of your nose with a cigarette lighter. That's how you really know you're a redneck. Then lastly, no regard for anybody but theirself. The lost generation is characterized by no regard. You know what's wrong with our generation? Our generation, we think nothing can happen. We are in the USA. We're America. Things are always going to be like this. Listen, when a nation gets like that, it's only going to be a matter of time till the Lord jerks a rug out. I'll give you a quote. You know what a man said one time? You know what the Secretary of the United States Navy said? No matter what, the United States Navy will not be caught napping. He said that December the 4th, 1941. Pearl Harbor got bombed. Right before it happened, he said, no matter what, you don't have to worry about the Navy. Bless God, we're on our job. Everything's all right. We're going to be fine. And that's the attitude of most churches today. Most people here today, some of you people sitting right here, you think, everything's all right. Bills are paid. We're doing fine. Brother, we don't realize what a mess we're in. How the devil's trying to get our kids. How the devil's trying to deceive our young people and take them to hell. Lord, have mercy this morning. We better realize we can be in a lot more trouble than we think we are. You know what they said about the Titanic? God Himself cannot sink this ship. That's what they said. They ought not to said that. They ought not to said that. The Lord took that iceberg up yonder in that ocean and took like a can opener, cut the side of that thing, just ripped it out. As pretty as you please, just like you'd took a can opener and run it down through there on the side of that ship. And God's able to do the same thing to you and to me and our church, our nation. We're living in the lost generation. And I close this morning giving you the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2 when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now what are we going to do? I'm pushing myself and I'm going to push you. If you don't want to be pushed, you ain't in the right church, because I'm going to push you here in the next few weeks and you ought to appreciate me doing it. I mean, nobody likes an alarm clock, but after you get up and go to work and make your money, you're glad somebody, that thing woke you up. And that's what I am doing this morning. I'm going to... And you say, no, just let me sleep, please. I'm feeling good. That old bed's warm, that cover, in your old backslidden condition. And I'm going, get up! Get up! And you're saying, shut up! Shut up! Put you on snooze, Brother Danny. I'll listen to you again next Sunday morning. I'm saying, get up! Get up, people! Get up! Rise up! Some of you that used to be on fire for God, rise up! Some of you that used to come in on Sunday morning, bring somebody with you, be a soul winner, try to be a worker for God, a prayer warrior, somebody that would fast, rise up! Save yourselves. Shake yourself from this untoward generation. Don't be caught napping. Let's stand by our head for prayer.